Christ is October 13th, 2024. We welcome you out there, and we thank you for joining us. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you that you are our God and that we are your people. We thank you that you, for all of your promises and for keeping your word. Lord, we are abundantly blessed in the midst of everything that's going on around us, and we thank you for all those blessings. We thank you for the blessings that come from your throne. And we thank you for the protection that you granted our people this last week from that hurricane. And Father, as watching that storm, I know that there was many answered prayers out there. And we thank you and praise you for that. We give you the glory for it. We don't praise Mother Nature, but we praise you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you for the deliverance that you granted your people, for the protection that you granted your people. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to protect those that are yours, that you keep them safe, that you help them to rebuild and get everything that's a mess out there cleaned up. We ask, Father, that you assist those that are yours. We pray this using the prayer filter, Father. We know that you know each and every one of them, Father. You know your children, and you know the number of hairs on their head, but we do come before you and we lift them up to you, and we just ask, Father, for your continued guidance and direction. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Before we get started, we're going to have a song. We're going to have Everlasting Love for You. We haven't sung this one in a while. It's a good song.
Jesus, we've got an everlasting love for you. From now on, that's all we want to do. From the first time we met, we knew we'd have an everlasting love for you. After all this time of being alone, let our love for one another reach out to others.
It's been a while since we've sung that one. The next one that we're going to have is First Day.
He has called his people back to him. In his blood we have been born again. No more to be controlled by sin.
beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Today, our life of forever begins.
We give our lives to prove to you that we will always love you and be true. Our hearts are healed, no longer made of stone. You gave the Spirit so we're not alone. Your promise says one day we're going home. And because victory over death set us free, every day is our first day with you.
Haven't sung that one in a while either. I like that song. It's a good one. And, well, we got to think a couple things that we're going to do different this morning. I want to start off by going to the mail bag. Received a couple emails yesterday. And this first one is from Irene in Texas, and I think this is worth sharing. She says, I just listened to the last half of the Texas Longhorns versus Oklahoma Sooners. Texas won 34-3. At the end of the game, the news interviewed one of the best Longhorn players, Quinn Ewers. He previously was hurt playing this year and has been in recovery. The news guy asked him how he did good plays today. Ewers said that in the troubled times, he continues to lean on Jesus, and Jesus always gets him through. Just telling you this because the news sometimes will not repeat the mention of Jesus. And I've seen that a lot of times, and I thought that that was good. Irene, thanks for sharing that. Really appreciate that. The other one is comes in and says to Jason, I have been getting the DVDs mainly for my mom because she didn't have the Wi-Fi to watch live services, but now she does have Wi-Fi and she loves listening to the CDs at night when she's going to sleep. So I would really appreciate it if you could send me just the CDs. My mom is fixing to be 85, and since having a mini stroke a couple of years ago, she does not see very well and has memory issues. She still is able to tune in on her tablet on Sundays. I also wish to request some copies of the prayer filter and the prayer amplifier, please. We have been so thankful for y'all, and y'all do to get the truth out there. And I will continue to support the ministry as long as I'm able. I will keep standing in the gap, fighting the good fight of faith, and having a love for the truth. That comes in from John, also from Texas. So I appreciate that, John. As of announcements, we've got another family that's joining us here in person from Texas, and we're going to have a new birth today, and someone's going to get baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the scripture says that even the angels in heaven rejoice when one is added to that Lamb's Book of Life. And, you know, we're grateful for that. And if the angels are rejoicing, we should be rejoicing as well. Had a in-depth discussion with somebody earlier this week, and it was on the subject of baptism. And we went around and around and around. And, you know, they ended up telling me how they could see it, and they could see that it was in Scripture, but to them it just wasn't that important. There was more important things that they needed to be doing, and I tried to explain to them and tried to get the point across that it's one of the most important things that you can do. It's the beginning. It's the, it's you need to take it seriously. And they thought that there was other issues that were more important than baptism. It was, you know, the international bankers. It was the Jews. It was the communism. It was, you know, it was a lot of different things. And I don't know. It was really disturbing to me just to see how somebody could fight it so hard and not believe it when they could see the scriptures. And it was obviously clear to them, and they even admitted that. But I think that that's just, you know, a lot of the spell casting, so to speak, from so many of the churches. And, you know, my thing is, you know, well, what have you got to lose? Okay, let's say that you're wrong. Is all you have to do is you got wet. It really is simple, and I think that there's so many people that try to keep those truths from his people because they know how important it is. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. Couple things. Got a couple videos here that I wanted to share that we put together, and we'll go ahead and have this first one. And this is just stuff that ran across, had several people that shared some stuff with me, was able to put it together last night and this morning. And I think that it really shows. They said that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, I think a video can say a lot of words. And this is, you know, real life stuff that's happened in the last week. And, you know, just, again, not to promote fear by any means, but for people to be aware of what is going on out there. We'll go ahead and have that, Richard.
Had so much fun. But what was really incredible is in every single restaurant of the people willing to talk to us, we could only find one Harris supporter in every restaurant. And we left no stone unturned. I approached every single person.
So here came this white girl from Iowa. And I started watching the WNBA much more closely than I ever had. And I started to think deep down in my psyche, wait a second, she's really good. But I'll be the first to admit, I felt guilty saying so on TV or on social media. I did not want to look like this red state white guy cheering for this red state white girl. Our country feels split enough racially already. I didn't want to pour gasoline on that fire.
Surveillance footage obtained exclusively by Fox 5. You see her stop as her dog sniffs a wall. A man dressed in black walks past her. Her back is to him. He turns around, heads towards her, punches her so hard she's knocked off her feet. We intentionally pause the video before the punch lands.
When you knock me, I hit my nose here and then I fell down.
In the video, you can see her attacker calmly walking off. Her dog tries to comfort her. Passersby rush to help her. She's laying still on the sidewalk.
You don't look like you were going to get up when I saw that video. But here you are.
Because I didn't want to see the tape. And maybe because I feel so lucky, because he could have had a knife, right?
She suffered a concussion and doesn't remember much of the attack, but it has now been added to a growing pile of NYPD data showing misdemeanor assaults up 9% from this time last year.
Breaking news, police have arrested someone for the murder of an Iroquois family in their own home. Last month, police went to the Ubaldo Santiago home for coals of a fire. That's when they found the two young parents and their two kids dead in the basement. Jennifer Lukey joins us from outside Iroquois Town Court, where the suspected killer has a scheduled appearance.
Julio Soriano was arraigned on 4 counts of murder in the first degree here at the Iroquois Town Court last week. He is due back in court right now. I'm about to head inside for that hearing. Police tell us that he is originally from the Dominican Republic. He was wanted for murder there and fled to Puerto Rico. They believe it was in Puerto Rico where he got fraudulent identification and made his way here to the Rochester area.
I live in Springfield. There's the water tower. A lot of people are asking what's really going on here, and I can tell you that 3 years ago we had a very large population of stray cats, and now they are gone. You don't see any cats. Our visitors are kind of violent, you know, and you'll see them threatening people. They've threatened my family with machetes. It's not a safe place. Most of the stuff that the people are saying to City Hall are true. If you put two and two together, you can figure some stuff out. But it's definitely not somewhere you want to be.
Some facts about immigrants. They usually do very well here. They are hardworking. They're ambitious. They commit less crime than native-born Americans. And they will assimilate and integrate in time, but it takes time. So I think all of us need to have the same kind of grace that we would want our ancestors to have when they moved here with our Haitian brothers and sisters who move here too. And nobody's eating cats. Nobody's eating dogs.
Yo, what is this they got on the grill? Man, listen, man. That little cat right there, his ass better get missing, man. Look like his homies on the grill, man.
Migrants first started arriving in early 2022. The traffic has picked up. On December 28th, Whitewater's police chief and city manager wrote a letter to the White House. They're asking the Biden administration for help as this city of about 15,000 handles an estimated 800 to 1,000 migrants.
I'm not going to lie, we did close for 2 weeks at one point just to sort of reassess how we were serving the needs of everybody.
Christine Zabios, director of the community space, says there was not a huge increase in visitors, but they were seeing a lot of people with no idea how the space works.
Sometimes we felt that we had people who were maybe taking more than they needed just because they didn't know they could come back.
For the city, the strain was more severe. The letter states police are struggling to watch the entire community because they are seeing three times the number of unlicensed drivers. Then the city says it bought, quote, costly translation software so police could communicate with migrants when handling traffic cases up to more serious cases, including sexual assaults and the death of an infant.
مخلوق جاب صدري النفس شميت بي ريحة هلي من والدي جايب عطير مو ذاك
I think they are trying to get even interpreters to teach the kids, let alone get to this part.
Yeah, having a huge problem, I think.
It's kind of ridiculous.
With trying to teach. There were 45 Haitians that started kindergarten this year.
Whoa.
45.
So, like, the majority of kindergarten is Haitian.
Yeah.
In what, 2 years or something like that? Like,
yeah.
That's, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They don't speak English.
I can tell you personally that when I worked at the grocery store and I cashed them out, the receipts were alarming. $13,000 on EBT food, not including the $29,000 that was on EBT cash. It's infuriating. Yes, sir.
So they're not getting 600.
And while they're dressed very well, very well, how are you able to dress like that? Coming over here as running for help that we're supposedly helping them? How are you dressed like that when we, the American people, are scrapping for the next set of work boots?
And I think that that does a really good job of just an overview of some of the things that are happening here in the United States that people need to be aware of. I mean, it's there's stuff that is happening that, you know, you don't see. Can you turn it down up here a little bit? Thanks. It's like, wow. And you've got to go and look for it. And there's one of the things that I've really noticed is censorship is real, and it's happening here in the United States, because videos like these, they will be on the internet for a while, and then they'll be gone. I've had stuff that I watched earlier in the week that I planned on downloading last night and this morning and playing, and I looked and looked and looked, and I know I did, you know, I had search history. I know how I got there before, and couldn't find it. It's really interesting. It's really times, and, you know, that's one of the things. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but encouraging people, you know, Psalms 83 and Psalms 91. I really believe that, you know, we need to be praying that Psalms 91 for protection for us and our families, and we also need to be praying that imprecatory prayer of Psalms 83. Our enemies are making an uproar against us on all different fronts right now. They're coming on against us and just from everywhere. You know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago about how the enemy has just surrounded us, and, you know, we can shoot in about any direction and hit the enemy. I got another video, and I think that I want to share this one. This is a video that I think, and it came from the Communist Party, and it was sent out, and I couldn't find an exact date on it, but it they definitely tell a story on what they're doing, and you can take that and you can apply it to today. Really good video. We'll go ahead and have that one coming up right about now.
The following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
Fascist.
Fascist.
Fascist political party.
Radicals on the far right.
Anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semitic.
Xenophobic.
Transphobic.
Uncle Tom's.
White supremacist.
Domestic terrorist.
Neo-Nazi organizer.
Nazis.
You are an anti-vaxxer.
Anti-vaxxers.
Racist.
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 A racist.
And that's, you know, one of the things. It's a weapon of warfare, and I think that our pastor, he taught very well on that, that this is what the enemy do. And he understood that for a long time, that that's what they did. They would label, you know, somebody as a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist or a hate monger, male chauvinist pig. I mean, you name it. He had all the names that were thrown at him. And you know, it was because it was the fight. He was fighting the fight of faith, and it was slander, Satan's tool, weapon of warfare that was used against him. You know, there they are telling their story on what they do, and I think that we can look around and see how effective it has been as a weapon of warfare. But with that said, we're gonna go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead and. We'll turn it over to Richard, but I do want to just continue to go ahead and close out with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for everything that you do for us each and every day, Father. We know that we are living in exciting times, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to grant us the faith that we need to have, our faith in you. Father, we see these things that are happening across this land, and we just ask, Father, for your protection for your people. We ask that you bear them up, that you put a hedge of protection around them, a shield of light that no evil can penetrate in any way, shape, or form. We cling to you, the rock of our salvation, and we thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
He turned the water into wine.
He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine. In that little Canaan town, the word went all around. He turned the water into wine. Well, he walked upon the Sea of Galilee. Walked upon the Sea of Galilee. Shouting far and wide, he calmed the raging tide, and he walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He turned the water into wine.
In my Lord now.
He turned the water into wine. The hungry multitude. He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine.
And the carpenter from Nashville.
In that little Canaan town, the word went all around. He turned the water into wine. He turned the water.
Well, good morning again, and again, welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ. And as Jason said, lots going on. It's almost hard where to know where to focus, what to look at, what to kind of just say, you know, it'll this will pass, and what to really focus on. Got another quick review just of a couple of things that are going on there in North Carolina as well. I want to start with a scripture in Nahum, though, because I think it's encouraging for us. We'll bring it up on the screen. Nahum 1:7, you see it there. It says, "The Lord is good." Boy, we could just leave it right there, couldn't we? But then it goes on and explains what it means there. "He is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him." And you know, when you look at just weather events, a lot of this country is in trouble right now. You don't hear a lot of it, and not going to talk a lot about it this morning, but massive fires up in North Wyoming, crossing into Montana, 70,000 acre fires, moving close to Sheridan, I believe. I know about six homes have been lost, and just hadn't been on the news. You don't hear much about it. But western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee, we're seeing more and more things that are coming out of that, more and more of people that are, I think it's interesting that especially in the day of social media, that you don't have to rely on a news channel to realize what's going on. You can see it just from the people that are living it. And, you know, many times the rescuers are getting there 10 days later. And the people that they're rescuing are saying, "Hey, we're good. Just, you know, we don't have power, we don't have water, but we're all right. Go help somebody that's worse off." And that's encouraging. It is. And I hope it's as encouraging to you as it has been to me to see just the neighbor helping neighbor, neighbor loving neighbor, neighbor caring about neighbor, whether they live next door or whether it's the guy seven states over that brought his helicopter. It is that spirit. And as Nahum says, Lord is good. He is good. And he is that stronghold in a day of trouble. And so we see that more and more. We see, we're seeing more praise of God, I think, than before these storms. I think we're seeing more reliance, more realizing that the people just being more thankful at maybe for what they have, what they, you know, as opposed to what they've lost. It just is. It's different. It is. And then also in Nahum, it finishes up, it says, "He knows those who take refuge in him." You know, if you flip over to Psalms 91, let's take a look at that real quick. I didn't bring the Bible bookmarker up here, but we've got them. But, you know, Psalms 91 talks about that. It starts out, it's, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." So that's talking about whether it's a person or a people, a choice that's made to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, to abide and hit the shadow of the Almighty. So if you choose to do that, Nahum says the same thing. God knows those that do that. He knows those that take refuge in him. So you can contrast that. Well, what about those that don't take refuge in him? Well, you figure it out. It's just what it says. I don't want to be those that he doesn't know. So I'll take my refuge in him. I'll trust in him. And, you know, sometimes it's tough to do. Let's hit a couple of those pictures, Jason. This one, I think, of all the and I know we're being inundated with pictures like this, but it's just the devastation that's across this country. This was in North Carolina. Let's skip that one. We'll come back to that one. It's just unimaginable almost. This next little one, I think, just a, like a little storefront there in one of the little touristy spots in North Carolina that many have gone to. Leaf watching, the color changing of the leaves, is a huge industry in this country, right? The people that travel to these small towns all up and down in the Appalachia region to see the leaves in the fall of the year, which is right now. And so it's not, none of that is happening, at least not in these devastated areas. And so that's a huge economic toll. You know, there's many of these little small towns that these 2 or 3 months, this is when they make all their money for the year, the people that live in these towns. And that's gone, as well as their stores and their homes and their vehicles and their clothes. This one was from this to this. It was the same perspective on Chimney Rock that was wiped out. And you can see there on the left a little it is just a very little scenic, touristy, you know, go in and get your little goodies. And this on the right is the same perspective, same place. The road is gone, the foundation's gone, the infrastructure's gone, and everything else. We've got to be praying for these people. You got to remember that's what we do. I kind of mentioned it this morning in the review of the news that, you know, if we were marathon runners, we'd be running every day, getting ready for it, practicing. It's what you do. Whatever it is that you do, and that's what we are to be doing. We are to be praying as Christians, as true followers of Jesus Christ, of supporting these people. I saw this little picture, this next one, of a little church. You can see it's got damage. The front's ripped off. All types of stuff on the front steps. Over on the left, you can see through it. The grass in the back, massive damage. There's a helicopter in the front. That's how they've got to this little town. And the sign says service, 11 a.m. Sunday. That's today. That's today. And so there's a resilience there. There is. What's the old Hank Williams song? You can't starve us out and you can't make us run. They help each other. And here just a couple weeks later, they're getting together and praising God and thanking him. Psalm 46:1, similar to Nahum, says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, God is not just, and we understand it, you know, we've got a lot of young people out here, I hope you understand it as well, that, you know, God is not just this mystical creature, this mystical thing that like Thor or Odin or these mystical things, these false gods that you hear about. No, God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble, present there with us. And I want to talk a little bit also, while we've got time, about Hurricane Milton that just roared across Florida. At first, you see it here, this was when it was still out in the Gulf, 160-mile-an-hour winds, it was a Category 5, 200-mile-an-hour gusts, a very, very low pressure, some of the lowest barometric pressure ever recorded. Just a wicked storm. I saw an interview with one of the storm chaser pilots that they fly the big Air Force or whoever airplanes through them, and he said it was a beast from beginning to end. And it just was. And Florida hunkered down. Florida saw this coming, and their governor spearheaded it. And they all pulled together. I really think they did, because they saw this storm, especially just on the heels of Hurricane Helene. It kind of had their attention. Hundreds of thousands evacuated. Well, this next one was when it was a little closer, almost to landfall. Almost to landfall, this next one was, it was down, instead of 180 miles an hour, it was down to 120 miles an hour. Now, that's a significant change. And you know what, here in the West, that's huge. It was moving faster, which means it's quicker to move through, not as much rain and deluge. And the barometric pressure was up, and so it was better. That was better. And I know that that was a result of the prayers of the believers in this nation praying. The believers in this church, in this congregation, extended all across the nation. But you know, others as well. I saw prayer chains. I saw prayer requests. And had people that have never asked for prayer before say that they were praying. A couple scriptures, I think, that go with that. Proverbs 15:29, again. When you look at the scripture, you see that division. There's a division there. It's like the sheep to the right and the goats to the left. It really is. And it's throughout the scripture. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. So, you know, as we teach our children this truth, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. You want the Lord to hear your prayers? What do you have to be? Wicked? What happens when you're wicked? He doesn't hear your prayers. He's far, far away. But for the righteous, he hears those. In James 5:16, a double witness to that, it tells us the same thing. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And there were lots of prayers offered up. There had been prayers offered up for those people impacted by Helene in Western North Carolina. And then with another hurricane bearing down on Florida at 180 miles an hour, I'm from Central Florida. We've lived through hurricanes. I remember one summer that three came almost back to back about a week apart. And my parents were without power for about 6.5 weeks after that. And it was a devastating time. Yeah, there were lots of prayers offered up. I've got this graphic here, if you can hit this one, Jason. It went from 160 mile per hour winds to when it actually hit. When it actually, that Hurricane Milton came on land, the winds were down to 90 miles an hour. I think it's after the next two scriptures is that next one. And when it hit, it was a Category 5. They were thinking about having to make a new Category 6. It was so wicked and bad and ripping. When it went down to a Category 3. And then when it hit just south of Tampa there, 90 mile an hour winds is what it hit with. And then as it crossed the state, it decreased as well down to a Category 1 hurricane. Still lots of flooding, lots of destruction. But when you have a Type 3 hurricane hitting versus a Type 5, that's night and day. That's a great inconvenience rather than a disaster. It really is. And it's because of prayer. It is. A couple pictures here of Hurricane Milton. These real bright, beautiful homes that were on the beach, and they're still bright, but they're not too beautiful anymore. Off their foundation, crushed. The Major League Baseball stadium there, I think over in Tampa, if I'm not mistaken. The big dome, it's the next one, I think, Jason. Had the top ripped off of it. If you can see right in the middle, that's the baseball field right in the middle. So you see how big that dome is. Huge. A lot of people down in Florida. They need big things, right? Big stadiums. The roof, all but, two pieces gone. Massive flooding. But even then, and the destruction, a couple more pictures here just of the debris and the destruction all over, could have been worse. Could have been much worse. And I fully attribute it to our Heavenly Father having mercy in his wrath. I know that was my prayer. That was the prayer of many that I know during this time, just this last week as this came through. I spoke with three family members. I had three family members down there, close family members, a sister and a brother in two different places and a brother-in-law not far away. And they were right in the path, right in the middle of the state. Spoke with them. Two of them didn't even lose power. Lots of prayer. Just lives down a local street flooding And you see on the bottom there, if you can see the screen, the quote in caps, "The Lord did deliver." That was the text I got from my brother-in-law, who's on the ministry. Had to borrow his son-in-law's phone because he didn't have service. But that was the praise after these 90-mile-an-hour winds ripped over. And they spent probably 3 or 4 days getting ready. And I think it's important that we remember to do that, to give honor where honor is due, to praise God, to acknowledge him. You know, in, if you look at Romans, Romans 1. That's back this way. You know, my brother-in-law acknowledged God. The Lord delivered. It wasn't their preparation. It wasn't Mother Nature that calmed the storm so that it came across lighter than it was. Romans 1:28, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer." And when you read before and after that, it's horrific. It's horrible. But it's the time that we live in, because there's so many that are like this. There's so many that are like the when Jesus healed the 10, right? Do you remember that? He healed the 10 lepers. One came back, right? And thanked him. One. Acknowledged him for who he was and thanked him for it. And when you read Romans 1, when they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, it's just horrific. But it is the times we live in, because that's the world. That's the, it's almost the Judeo-Christian world that we live in, that's pushed and promoted by the Judeo-Christian churches. Isaiah 43, got this this graphic. It's the Living Bible translation. A little different, but I like what it says here. It's pretty plain. "When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown." And you can see that it's not just hurricanes and floods that he's talking about here, but that's the comparison. That's the comparison that you know, that he is that present, ever-present help in times of trouble. Remember, Pastor taught about those storms of life that come. Sometimes they're named as hurricanes and floods, and, you know, sometimes they're just storms of life. But when we, if we believe his word, and we should, all of it, then we believe that, just like his word says, that he is with us. That, oh, we may go through that difficulty, but that's just it. We get through it. Get through it. And you can bet your boots, like it says here in Isaiah 43, it starts out when you go through them, because guess what? You have them. You have them. It's the life that we have here. The Bible talks about it raining on the just and the unjust. But you know, the unjust out there have no hope. They don't. They have no hope. And we are not to be that way. We aren't. Jason, I would like to go back to that one picture, if you can back up a little bit, about the those people there in Rutherford County. The little one there on the side about the... Here in the midst, I thought this was interesting. I'd seen it a couple times. Had a couple different people send it to me. And it's not too dissimilar from the little church picture that says they're having church today after the devastation and after half the church was wiped away. But I saw this, saw it on social media a couple times, I apologize for the blurry picture. But it says hundreds of folks coming together to give their lives to Christ in Rutherford County, Western North Carolina, following Hurricane Helene. And, they went down to the river, the lake, whatever's there, to get baptized. Hundreds. Well, why didn't they get baptized last year? Well, why didn't they get baptized here? See, that doesn't come into play. That doesn't come into play, because God works with each and every one of us differently. But those people that either lost everything they had, or their neighbor did, or, you know, maybe they, I know a family, lives about an hour from Asheville, right? Pretty devastating around there, right? They lost their power for an hour. Their road was not washed out. They live up, 200 yards off the Appalachian Trail. They were delivered. 100 fell over here and 10,000 over there. Not them. Guess where their trust is? It's right here. Always have been. Always has been. Like Jason said, we've got a family coming for baptism today. And that's a good thing. And these people in North Carolina that witnessed that devastation, that saw it, maybe that's what it took for them. Praise God. Praise God. It takes different things for different people. It really does. That's the small stuff. What gets you there? The important thing is that you get there. You get to that point. And it's not an end. It truly is a beginning, a new beginning. Well, looking at the time, we're going to move into communion. Jason, can you pass that out, or you may have Derek do it, if you can pet out. And I spoke with our guests. We're going to serve them communion after their baptism today, because baptism is that start. It's that place to truly be born again and abide in Him. Jason, I'll need one too. I'm sorry, I didn't bring mine up. Thank you. And as Pastor taught in his book on communion, great summary. We've got it reprinted in booklet form, Communion and His Potential Blessings, Curses, and Need. Sent a few of these out this last week. That's always a good thing. But he reiterates what the Bible talks about, that the seriousness of communion, that what it is, as Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. It's not just something that, man, it's just, let's get this done. We got things to do. That's not what it's about. Sometimes we get thinking that, and we have to take a time out and say, no, that let's remember. Let's remember who our Lord and Savior is. Let's remember He is the Word, the Old Testament Word, the New Testament Word. He is what we read in Nahum. He is that ever-present help. And He came and lived the perfect life. And to give us that perfect example, something to strive for. And you know, in following Him, we don't achieve that perfection that He came and lived, that sinless life. We just can't. We should try. We should try. We should aim for that. I think was it Vince Lombardi years ago that's what he instructed his football players. He said, you aim for perfection. You won't reach it. But the closer you get to it, the better you get. What is the thing called excellence? And we can have that in our Christian walk when we do our best to follow His example. And as true followers of Christ that do remember Him, that are saved by His blood, by His sacrifice, by His grace, by His mercy, it is better. It is better. Doesn't do away with the storms of life, but it's like having that generator and that stock of water. It prevents them from being a disaster. Just makes them maybe an inconvenience. In 1 Corinthians 11, I'll read this. It's under the subtitle Lord's Supper, because it does a good explanation. It talks about judging and who we are to judge, what we are to examine as we come together in this solemn time to remember our Lord, to remember what He's done for us. And starting in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" And I understand that to mean not just His death, but his resurrection as well. In verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty in the blood of the Lord. Now, that's serious. That's a serious thing there. And we should take this seriously. That's what the word says. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge rightly, we would not be judged. I want to read that one again. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. We have that opportunity. God gives that opportunity to look at ourselves in the mirror. And that's what we are to do right now, right here. And judge ourselves rightly according to this. And we see how far we fall short. But that's why we needed a Savior. And that's one of the reasons he came. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. I try to go to this scripture when people say, but what about those people? What about those people over there that got the nice house, the big house? Not the nice house, the big house and the boat and this and that and just never have any problems. And just, it just is not news. And I go to the scripture, and they're of the world. And that's what's important to them. And this world is all they get. And so you might say by what this word says is that they're condemned along with the world. But he gives us the opportunity to not be. We've passed our communion out here. You saw that. We've prayed over it earlier. Done the same. As I said, I've sent some of the communion books out. I had a couple people that wanted that recipe for the bread. And so if you're unable to find that, it's in the book, you might say. We'd be glad to send that to you. Well, let's pray. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together, Lord, to pause our busy, busy lives, Lord, regardless of where we're at and what we're doing. We thank you that you allow us to pause and to remember what you have done for us. Opportunity to remember your blessings and your promises. To be encouraged by your word. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you came and died for us, for us. And the word says, for those that were far off, we thank you for your redemption. As we partake in this, Lord, let us do as your word says and judge ourselves, see where we fall short, and strive, Lord, to be in your word, to read, apply your word, and to have a greater understanding of it. And Lord, to be able to share that with others. Strengthen us as we partake of this. We claim all the benefits and the blessings that come with this, Lord, of health and life and peace and prosperity. And Lord, of being a good steward of all that you give us. Being a true follower of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do this to your glory and in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine. In that little Canaan town, the word went all around. He turned the water into wine. He walked upon the Sea of Galilee. Shouted far and wide, he calmed the raging tide. And he walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He turned the water
into my Lord now.
He turned the water into wine. And the lame.
turn the water into wine. In that little Canaan town, the word went all around. He turned the water into wine. He fed the hungry multitude.
Didn't he, brother?
Yes. He fed the hungry multitude. Hungry multitude. He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine.
And the carpenter from Nashville.
In that little cave.